The Bible is full of many types of imagery. It uses many different types of analogies, metaphors, symbolisms, and other types and other kinds of figures of speech. One of the most common analogies that we find in the pages of the Bible is the one of the shepherd and sheep. The Lord is my shepherd is found in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You art with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We also told in the Bible that the leaders of God's people were also described as shepherds. We also see in the pages of the Bible where Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep. We find that in John 21, verses 15 through 17. And so it's obvious, just from these few references, it's obvious that the church of God is described at various times in the pages of the Bible as a flock. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The sheep analogy is widely used today in various areas of our society, such as in politics, in education, even in business. And perhaps some may think it is overdone, and maybe it is. And maybe it is in some circles. Sheep, it appears, are not well thought of, at least in our society. Not just generally speaking, being called a sheep is usually some sort of put down. It usually means having a passive behavior or that we are considered to be easily victimized. We speak of sheep as being sheared by the wily. We speak of sheep following blindly. We speak of sheep in negative terms of a person being sheepish. Our vocabulary seems to be full of expressions like being gentle as a lamb, or like acting as a sheep ready for the slaughter. We also refer to a one-of-a-kind person sometimes as the black sheep. And there are dozens and dozens of other ways the sheep analogy can and is used. But in the Bible, in God's Word, God uses sheep in an analogy where they are highly prized. Even if there might truly be difficulty in caring for them, they still, in the Word of God, is referred to as being highly prized. God Himself cares for the people He claims as His sheep. Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "The invisible things can be known by the visible things." Now, that's not exactly what it says, but that's close. You get the point. You understand. Brethren, please understand, this is one of the reasons that analogies can be very useful to us. And the reason is because in this case, God wants to make Himself known. Jesus described Himself as the Good Shepherd in John 10 and verse 11. He said that He was sent to recover the lost sheep of Israel in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24. So it is a fitting analogy to use today to come to understand more about God and how God cares for His people, His sheep. So today, with this little introduction in mind, let's look at a few aspects of the Good Shepherd and His sheep. And let's begin by asking ourselves just what kind of Good Shepherd Jesus Christ is like. So let's list a few characteristics of our eternal Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And brethren, as we list these qualities, let's ask ourselves, how much of these do we actually believe? And you guys say, oh, well, I believe all of them. Let's ask ourselves the question maybe at the end of the sermon. These characteristics are found throughout the pages of the Bible in many places, but let's put them together here for simplicity. The Good Shepherd is concerned for our eternal welfare, and He also provides us a worthwhile life now, even in this physical state. Now, do we believe this, yes or no? He is tender, knowledgeable, and skilled at His job. He is very responsible and loving. Jesus knows every one of us by name. He even keeps up with the numbers of hairs on our heads. There's even a passage that tells us that He even, to put it in a vague way, but very similar, He catches our tears and keeps them in a bottle. He is faithful to feed His sheep and to protect us. He leads and guides His sheep in the right path, in a safe path. No matter what the trial is that the shepherd and his sheep are on, the shepherd is always with them, protecting them. He is even willing to give up His own life for the sake and the safety of His sheep. And Jesus did just that. The Good Shepherd communicates with His sheep, calling them by name. He reassures them. He comforts them. He encourages them. He is a restorer. He is the one who anoints them. He is the one who blesses them with peaceful green pastures and still calm waters. He blesses His sheep until the cup actually overflows. We read these things. We read this. If one of His sheep goes astray, what does He do? He seeks it out and rejoices over that one lost sheep being returned. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus, He never neglects, He never misuses the sheep, and He never fails His sheep. He is called the Great Shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Let me ask you some questions. Do you think that our good shepherd, our great shepherd, expects perfection from us? Do you think He realizes that we are very weak and lacking in knowledge compared to Himself? Do you think He can empathize with us? That He is there with us, that He senses what we've gone through. Because He has. Do you think that He can? Do you think that He does? You see, Jesus knew what it was to be among His sheep, figuratively speaking, of course. Because, you see, He became a human. He learned obedience through His suffering. That's in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, easily relates to us when we are confused, or fearful, or lonely, or in pain. He has real feelings for His sheep. Taking care of the sheep is not just a job for Him. These are some of the characteristics of the Good Shepherd. We asked the question as we started, do we believe these? Does our life reflect that we believe these characteristics? Now, on the other hand, a bad shepherd is not at all like the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. While Jesus comes straight in at the door of the sheepfold, a bad shepherd or a false shepherd does not use the door. The bad shepherd will misuse and or threaten and or neglect the sheep. Jesus refers to the bad shepherd as a thief. So now let's pause for a moment and let's consider this analogy of the good shepherd, the one who gave His all for His sheep. I'd like to put it this way. Here is a question that is the main focus of this sermon today. If God has provided us with the perfect good shepherd, and He has, who leads us in peace, who loves us, who feeds us, who rejoices over us, who protects us, who encourages us, then why are so many people we know so discouraged? Why are there so many that we may know that are injured? Why are there those that we may know that are afraid? I think it's a valid question. I also think it being a valid question is one that we all need to seriously consider. That's why when I gave the list of the characteristics before giving them, I said, ask ourselves the question, do we believe these characteristics are true, are real? Does the Good Shepherd really have these? And does our life reflect them, yes or no? There are people out there in our world today who do not even believe there is a God, much less believe a truly good God who cares for His people like the Good Shepherd that we just described. They don't even believe there is a God, much less a Good Shepherd type God that we just looked at. They don't believe that. They don't believe that in a heartbeat. Some of these unbelievers defend their godless position of, I don't believe that. And the reason is, and the way they do it is, by pointing out how many very sad and downtrodden are many, many people who claim to be God's sheep. And brother, to tell the truth, we all probably can think of people that we know who certainly seem to fit into that category. And even more on a personal basis, we may need to admit after all that we might even be part of that group. Maybe we are part of that group because we are also so often sad or feel downtrodden. Many people who attend God's church would not describe their life as the abundant life that Jesus promised to give to us. John 10 and verse 10. The thief, that's the bad shepherd. Remember I told you he refers to them as the thief. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now let me ask you a question. Is this, I came to give them life and to give them life more abundantly. Is it referring to the Old Testament people? Is it referring to the kingdom of God, the millennium, and what lies beyond? Or does perhaps it also applies today? It applies today. There is going to be no thief after the return of Jesus Christ. I know Satan is loose for a little season, but what happens? He's gone. That's short-lived. It's a little season. It's short-lived. There will be no thief. There will not be the bad shepherd. All of those things will be then, no questions asked. It applies now. But do we live our life with that in mind? So what's wrong with this picture? Having a perfect good shepherd and still living like a thief is abusing us is incongruent. Now I'm going to stop right here and tell you. I understand. Some may consider this as really stinging. I understand it. It's not the intention, but if it's to wake us up, then let it wake us up. But I think these are some serious questions, some serious thoughts, some serious things that we need to take a look at. And I think the day is a day to look at it. God wants us to be serene and calm. So why do we have so much chaos and confusion in our lives? God wants us to have peaceful green pastures for food. So why does it seem like we eat from cheap drive-through windows at fast food restaurant chains? God wants us to follow the Good Shepherd in an orderly fashion. So why does it seem we frantically rush through traffic and pandemonium? Why? Surely we all need to consider our state of being as being the sheep that have the good shepherd who is the Lord is my shepherd. A question that we need to ask and to think about. He is the good shepherd. But is he good or only mediocre to us and the way we live our life? How is he? How is he? So how do we move from a state of being sad or anxious or fearful or discouraged? How do we experience the blessings that are described in Psalm 23? Well, let's begin by examining ourselves as to what kind of sheep we are. Someone recently made a statement, I am a black sheep because it matches my mood. Now, while we may think this is somewhat humorous, once the laughter stops, it is still very sad. That's very sad when you really stop and think about it and you analyze it. The truth is, every human being is something of a black sheep, and I'm using this in the sense of because we have all sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in that sense, we're all black sheep. But it has been washed away. He has made that available. We have been the enemies of God. Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Enemies and sinners are synonymous. Christ died for us. Brethren, please also understand that following our Good Shepherd is not a matter of not thinking or mindless following or of simply jumping off cliffs. Yet, the Lord's sheep follow Jesus Christ, the only true Shepherd, without negative questioning or murmuring or complaining. His sheep must believe in His goodness. I go back, it fits. This is really not about us. This is about God. This is about God. You know, He is the Good Shepherd. How do we want to live our lives toward this? We are His sheep. We're not the next door neighbor. You know, we're not of the pastor of the next door neighbor who's not the Good Shepherd. We are of the flock of the Good Shepherd. And we're going to gripe and complain and moan and bellyache and do all of these things when He's everything is there. The Lord is my shepherd. I am going to starve half the time. It's not what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do we believe that? Yes or no? It's either true or it's not true. Now, I believe it's true. And I think you believe it's true. And we'll see a little bit later into the sermon why I think that there are still difficulties. He only leads us to paths of righteousness. Who else can do it? Nobody. He only. Can it be that we simply have not followed our Good Shepherd closely? Maybe we're hanging back a little. So let me ask that again. Can it be that we have simply not followed our Good Shepherd closely? Can it be that we have not believed Him? Can it be that as sheep we do go astray? Well, it looks greener over there. And that's the optimum word. Looks. I think I can do better than this Good Shepherd by going eating over there. No, He's a Good Shepherd. He knows everything. I think that He would have us where we are, where He wants us to be. Why? Because it's right, it's good, it's the thing to do. But no, we want to go over there sometimes. As sheep, do we fail or do we fall into crags and crevices? As sheep, do we get lost and wander in the wilderness? Perhaps so. Yet, the Good Shepherd is always alert and always on guard for us. Always. Always. He is able and willing to save. Do we believe that? Do we live our lives based upon the fact that we believe that? He seeks that which is lost, and He can find us no matter where we are. Do we believe that? We all need to know and know that we know that we are the sheep of the Lord. We all need to know and know that we know that there is one and only one way to be God's sheep. And that way is Jesus Christ. It's the only way. It's not one of, it's the only way. We have to depend on Him. But let me try if I can fly on my own. No. We depend on Him 100% of the time. And so you might ask, how do we know, based upon what I've said so far, that we are His sheep? Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and I will show you the answer. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith. Yes, faith is required. Not hope, not wanted to be, not it might be, it possibly could be. Faith. Faith is absolutely required. And we get faith directly from God by seeking Him and asking Him and responding to Him as He deals with us day by day. We'll never follow Jesus as the Good Shepherd if we do not believe Him. Do I need to repeat that? Yes. We will never follow Jesus as the Good Shepherd if we do not believe Him. And that belief has to be, He's always good, He's always right, He always has our best interests in mind, He always knows what's the right answer in every given situation, He knows where the green pastures are, He knows this is better than what looks like over there. Every situation He knows, and we believe Him. And that is the only way. And what is it we are required to believe? God is. God is good. God is a rewarder. God is the good shepherd. God is always right. And you can take each one of those points and put all kinds of scriptures and passages and thoughts and feelings and beliefs and knowledge and know-how and everything under every one of those points and fill volumes of books. That is what is required of us to believe. God is, and all that that entails. One area that we doubt God in, we don't believe Him. Then He's not the good shepherd to us. Because we would believe that He failed us. In any one area. In any one area. And He's never going to do this. And how do we know these things? We know these things because He has spoken to us about them. We must hear His voice and follow Him. John 10, verse 27. John 10:27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. It doesn't say, My sheep sometime pay attention and recognize My voice. That's not what it says. My sheep know My voice, or hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. When you boil it all down, I think we can all conclude that that is actually a very simple sounding statement. It also happens to be 100% true. There are stories, all kinds of stories, I grew up, I'm not talking about myself here, just an illustration. I grew up not with sheep, but with cattle. So I know a lot about various things about cattle. But I know people who have had sheep. I know a man who was a minister one time who grew up on a ranch, a sheep ranch. They were one of the biggest sheep herders, ranch farmers in the West. He has all of these stories about these sheep. Some of them we laugh at, some of them we cry about, and all of these things. But I know other people have also, and I've read about sheep, and my wife told me just the other day, one of these things that she read about, she was telling me how these shepherds, how they would build up rocks. They don't do this so much now because of various technology, but they used to, they would build up rocks, you know, like a, you know, a waist-high wall. And he would put the, you know, around, and they would, at night, and they would put the sheep in there. And where did the shepherd sit? In the door. In the door. So no one could come in. And they would stay there. And when he puts them in at night, you know what they did? They have them all by name. When they would come up, he'd call them by name. And if somebody else who was not the shepherd called them by name, they didn't come. This is what we call dumb sheep. They know the master's voice. I guess it's a question there. Do we? So why do we allow ourselves to hear other voices and follow them? And it can be voices of other religionists. It could be other voices of songs, of TV programs. It could be all kinds of different voices, and we follow them. And brethren, you know what? That's exactly what many of us do. We hear and follow other voices. We hold in our memory words that some person used to criticize us. Or we listen to that. And we keep it there. We reflect on it. We often even repeat critical things to ourselves over and over. We remember discouraging words and experiences, and we dwell on these instead of hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd who encourages us and loves us and is there to give His life for us. We need to ask ourselves, which voice is the voice of truth? And yes, it is very true that we are sinners, we are mess makers, we are full of mistakes, and we are lacking in so many ways. But Jesus Christ knew that. He knows us, and He calls us, and He deals with us anyway. Now I say He calls us. Jesus doesn't call us. The Father calls us, and Jesus then works with us. But I think you understand what I'm saying. We hear His voice. God calls us. He's got our attention. He gives us then to the Good Shepherd. And then He speaks, and then we hear His voice and we come. That's the kind of calling I'm referring to there. Jesus Christ is a perfectly capable Good Shepherd to those who will hear and follow Him. He will take care of us now in this physical life, and He leads us to eternal pastures. In this life, our weakness is necessary. Our dependence on Him is necessary. If we were capable and we could do it all, then we don't need God. So our weaknesses are necessary. That's how I mean that. Because our dependency on Him is necessary. Our hope in Him is necessary. Our following Him is necessary. Because there is no other way. There is no other way. And following Him, Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, means to become like Him. Paul the Apostle knew this. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We find in Matthew 25 an important aspect of being a good sheep, one who follows the good shepherd. If you go with me to Matthew 25, verse 32, we begin. Matthew 25, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. That's eternal damnation, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. In verse 44, then shall they also unto him answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungered and thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you, or did not serve you? When did that happen? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Why are the sheep doing these things? Why would the sheep do these things? Because that's what the shepherd does. We're to become just like the shepherd. These are the things that Jesus Christ does. What we clearly see is that helping others is directly connected with being a good sheep. We are not to let others do our part for us. Yes, God has put ministers in His church to help us, but we have a part also. Let each one of us remember that in this analogy, true ministers who are just Christ under shepherds are actually sheep also. It's positions. It's not necessarily being over, if you think about it in that way. Is there a responsibility and responsible, to care for? Of course there is. But we're sheep also. We are not the shepherd. We are to be under shepherds, to use that term. Jesus is the true shepherd. So today, let us seriously ask ourselves, if we believe that Jesus is the good shepherd, or is he just a mediocre one? Which one is he? Let us ask ourselves if our many bouts of despondency or anxiety or fear are aspects of our not hearing the voice of our shepherd and not following closely enough to him. Is that what it is? I think I've told you through the course of this sermon that I think that's what it is. Sheep of the good shepherd will hear his voice and will follow what he says. They will refuse fear. They will cooperate with the shepherds leading them to dwell in peace. Our good shepherd will take care of the weak and sickly. Yes, there are times whenever we may be weak and we may be even sickly. The good shepherd is and does take care of us. He will restore them to health. He will defend them against all enemies. But they need to listen, they need to hear, they need to trust, and they need to stay close to the shepherd. If we're over there, thinking it's greener over there, we might not hear the shepherd's voice. Years ago, sheep herding was not as easy a profession as it may even be today. Those who tended to sheep were very busy. It wasn't just sitting out like you see sometimes in the movies, where they're out on the hillside and they're playing their guitar and, you know, doing all. Yeah, they had there. They did those kind of things. But when was that? Not most of the time. It was a busy, busy job. They were working, working, working. Their lives were also often in peril. Take a look at 1 Samuel. We're not going to go there. You can write down and look at it later. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David is telling the story to Saul in verses 34 and 35 about how he killed a lion and a bear. And then people say, well, yeah, but it was one of these little things. It was a lion and a bear. I don't care how big or little it was. How many of you ever killed a lion and a bear with your hands? Because you were defending your sheep. I rest my case. Their lives were at peril. So were the sheep. And who? And when something like a lion and or a bear comes toward the sheep, who jumps in front? The dumbest sheep or the shepherd? The sheep kept as part of a person's wealth provided wool, milk, sacrifices, and sometimes meat. Their food, their livelihood, to keep them sustained. Sheep graze wherever there was food and water. They had to trust the shepherd. Often, they were out in the mountains or the wilderness areas for long periods of time. They didn't see family. They didn't go back home. They were out there for long times. A sheep was often in a flock for a number of years, and the shepherd knew all about each sheep and its individual traits. Sheep were even given names that often describe some specific trait of the sheep, such as maybe one had patches looking, you know, on their face, and he called them patches, or maybe he had a limp, and he called him, you know, limpy. I mean, I don't know, you know, all kinds of things, you know, red nose or, you know, whatever, different characteristics that they would have. But he knew them. That's the point. It wasn't just a bunch of sheep out there. No, they were named. He knew them and he knew various characteristics about them. Like I said, I never raised sheep, but I did have cattle. And I'm not making a comparison here. I'm just saying I understand this because the most I ever had at any one time was I had 25 cattle. I knew every one of them by name. Okay, I'm just making the stuff. You know, as a kid, I knew them all by name. I knew what all of them would do. I knew I couldn't leave this one and this one together because they would start hitting against one another and they would try and hurt one another. And so you can't even do that. This was cows I'm talking about, dumb cows. Sheep are even more so. You know, you have to know the characteristics. Shepherds looked for still rather than running water. Why? Because it scared the sheep. And they hunted for shade so sheep could rest out of the hot sun. Why? Because they don't do as well out in the hot sun. They do better. When there was danger from weather or from enemies, the shepherd would sometimes find an enclosed place with a narrow entrance or a doorway. And here is where the shepherd would sit so that anything or anyone who tried to enter one would not be able to get past him or her. I mentioned this earlier. But that's what they did. Jesus said, I am basically the gate. Do you know what he's saying? Do you understand what he's saying? No one's coming past me to get to my sheep. That's what he's implying. Just like shepherds did, that's what he does. Nobody's coming over me. They're going to have to come through me to get to them. For the small family, every sheep was important. Often the shepherd was one of the family members, or in these small, in these small families, like David, for example. Now there were like 8 or 9 sons, whatever there were, and Samuel came to anoint one, and he says, you have to have another son. He, well, yeah, I got this scrawny little kid out there, he's mending the sheep, but they didn't even bring him in. You know, my point being was, is he was part of the family, and this is, it was a family thing, and they took care of him like a family. There was no vacation days. You know, there was no calling in sick just because they wanted to. You know, they were there. Sheep had to be examined every day. The sheep had to be cared for, and the sick had to be cared for every day. And they kept them out there, and the shepherd stayed out there. Jesus, the good shepherd, was personally invested in the family flock of sheep. And we need to hear and we need to follow his voice and not be led off by any others. No matter who they are or how right they may sound, in doing it this way, in so doing, we will dwell with the shepherd who redeems and rewards. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. When we truly follow the good shepherd, it's a done deal. It's a sure thing. Anybody like to bet on those odds? I mean, I know we don't bet, but you got the point. It's a done deal. Nothing, brethren, nothing, absolutely nothing can take us from God's eternal plan of peace for us. Do we believe that? Or do we still willingly hear and listen to other voices other than the Good Shepherd? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, now shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or hearing the voice of another shepherd? You know what? False shepherd? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Good Shepherd. Amen. Whose voice are we listening to? There's only one choice, right choice, and that's to listen to the words of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you.